You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hi, you have got Rose, Scott, and Dave on.
Well, hey, how are you guys?
Great, how are you?
Good, thank you, thank you.
Nice to meet you, Kristen. This is Scott.
This is very, well, it's very nice to meet you. Where are you guys calling out of?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all over the country.
We're all over.
Yeah. All over?
Yeah.
North America? That...
Yeah. We'll settle for North America.
Rose, you're up in what, in the Washington area? Washington.
Yep, Northwest. Yeah.
I went there this summer. Washington is beautiful. Beautiful.
It is gorgeous. That's awesome.
It is.
Dave is in the Chicago area, and I am down here in the Tampa area. So we cover the full gamut. Yeah. So today was really a good day. I mean, we're in a boat club. We went out on the boat today, and it was 80 degrees and sunny, and I have no complaints.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So, yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, I believe you.
It's normally the time where I tell Scott to shut up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, Scott, that's right,
yeah, shut up. Quit rubbing your ass.
I can't help. And since I moved down here 2 years ago, it's been nothing but paradise.
You know what? I used to live on the coast, and well, not quite. I used to live in Arizona, and I would go over to California on the weekends to go surfing, and I really, really miss the beach. Mm. And now I'm in the middle of America, where there's a lot of water here, a lot of lakes, which is beautiful, but it's not the same as, you know, the ocean, going out to the ocean.
No,
so
it's not.
I miss it a lot.
So where are you at, Kristen?
I'm actually in Oklahoma right now. I'm in the Tulsa area.
Okay.
And awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful here, and I love it, and I, you know, people are great. All my band is in New York, which is kind of odd why I'm in Oklahoma, but I do miss the ocean quite a bit, but the people are good here, and
yeah,
so it makes it easy to live here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're making time for us. How much time do you have for us?
Whatever you need. I have a free evening tonight.
Outstanding. You might regret saying that, though. We just ramble a lot. So.
That's okay. I love rambling. We'll have this episode of rambling. That's great.
Perfect.
I have a tendency to go on tangents. So.
Well, I think I found my tribe. There you go.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm a classic rabbit trailer. I'll tell like a story and then remember another story that doesn't connect to either of the stories that I'm talking about.
I look forward to this. This is going to be a fun night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, I try to keep everybody in line, but I'm usually not successful, so.
Oh, that's okay.
Dave has taken on the nickname. Well, he hasn't taken it on. It's been given to him. Of the podcast.
He's been given the nickname.
Yes, he's been given the name The Overlord.
Oh.
It's a weird cross to bear, but yes.
It is, you know what? But yeah, I love it. All right.
So I guess we can just get started then.
Sure.
Let me just verify we're recording, which is always important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are. Very good.
I'm taking
So this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and online I've got my wonderful, beautiful Rose.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And the guy that I'm looking to replace, Scott, because he says he doesn't like Eddie Vedder.
Oh, slam.
Yes, well, yes, you know, it's been a little too long since we talked about that, but...
Yeah, it's okay. We'll talk about it again another time. It's not that I don't like him. It's just... All right, let's just move on.
We can go down that for a little while.
No arguing with company. Okay, come on.
Look,
now.
Let's just say I'll take Steve Perry over Eddie Vedder any day of the week.
Oh, who doesn't love Steve Perry? Look, I found my guy. That's right.
Don't worry. We're going to go down that road, and we're going to talk a lot about that. I can't wait to talk to you about that. So let's, Dave, how are we going to roll this out? What do you want to do?
Well, I mean, we've got a special guest, Kristen Kaivo, online, and, you know, she's a recording artist, and she's going to be geeking out with us all about her 80s music influences and about her current projects. So welcome to the show, Kristen.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, ever since I tweeted earlier today, I had said, you know, we're going to be talking to you about your influences, and there has just been a buzz of just follow, you know, Twitter and interactions with people saying, oh, you know, all these great 80s songs, and it's like you've been reacting to every single one of them. It's been fantastic. But you didn't grow up in the 80s, though.
No. But in a sense, I kind of did. My mom did. And so she was a teenager through the 80s. And, you know, when 90s came around, I came around, and she didn't play anything older than the 80s in the house growing up. So I thought I was listening to new music, but it was all the bands of the 80s and hair metal. And there was 80s pop in there, too, but a lot of hair metal. And I thought I was listening to new music, and turns out it was dated, but it was such a huge influence in who I became and what I wanted to become as an artist that there's no regrets. I owe a lot to my mother for doing that.
So then what is her, what would you say is her genre of choice? Hair metal?
I would think so. I mean, I can't say for sure. There's definitely even some pop influences for her, too, but definitely hair metal. I remember more hair metal than anything. But that was, you know, those were the big bands of her time, which she made sure that I knew who they were, right, growing up in my time.
And that's very important for education, I think, is, you know, making sure that, you know, you're listening to all this great music, but you also got to tell, you know, pass the knowledge on as to who you're listening to. And I've done that definitely with my kids. So my kids are probably being raised a lot the same way.
Parenting done right. Yeah, it's parenting 101, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the music that you grew up with is starting to influence your current projects. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, the moment I realized I was maybe a little dated and what I was listening to is I moved to a new city when I was 12, so a new school, and then that's the real age where you start to really get into music, which is that preteen and teenager age. And I was meeting new people, and they were asking me what kind of bands I was into, and I name-dropped things like Journey and Whitesnake and Foreigner and Heart and Glass Tiger, and they all just kind of looked at me like, what? How do you not know who this is?
I know people who still don't know who they are.
Right. That was the moment where I got really confused, and they were confused, and I, you know, and they took pity on me, and they said, hey, let me teach you what's going on right now. And I did. So I learned a lot of new bands that were happening at that moment, which I'm also grateful for. But I don't have any regrets for being behind because it was just such a massive influence for my own style. And I really want to bring back elements of that beautiful, huge sound of the 80s into what I'm doing, even in pop rock.
Yeah. So it's amazing to me the influence mm-hmm. that the 80s has had on the generations following ourselves that lived through it. You know, I was a teenager in the 80s. I went to high school. I graduated in 86 from in Southern California, and I can't believe how much of an influence that the 80s pop culture has had on today's society. Like, I went out with a couple cousins recently. They drove across the state from the other side of Florida, and they had a friend that was in a band, and so we went and watched them. And then after the band, we went to a local club here in the Tampa area, in its little town called Ybor City. It's like really old part of Tampa. It's got a lot of really cool places. But anyway, we ended up at this place that's like very new. It's got a goth feel in there. It's a very young crowd, you know, 20s, mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s. And we were there for probably a good couple hours, and I do not recall hearing any other music other than 80s. And one specific one that I remember it was they had this huge video screen, and it was Lucky mm-hmm. Star by Madonna.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, you know, and I was never a huge Madonna fan in the 80s. You know, I was more of probably like the influence that you were talking about with the hair metal and heavy metal. I loved a lot of the hard rock stuff. But it was just so amazing to me to see this generation of younger adults that you know, I'll be 50 in like a couple of weeks. And it's really just it blows my mind that they are so into that 80s sound. And you know, it's really cool to hear you are bringing like some of that into your music of today too.
Yeah, the 80s for me is almost a very, I don't know how to describe it other than freeing and happy sound almost. When I was introduced to the 90s, and there's so many good bands that came out of the 90s, it almost was semi-depressing, though. It was mm-hmm. very different than the music I was used to and what my mom was raising me with. And I thought, wow, what is happening here? But the 80s had this very freeing, carefree kind of, and you know, a lot of people say sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but for me, it was just this carefree, you let go of your concerns or cares, and then you're just, and so it was just this beautiful sound, and it was a time where musicians were musicians, you know, there was less, there was definitely synthetic stuff happening too in the 80s, but there was less synthetic and more live instruments, and I'm actually going back to the studio and adding more live instruments so people can realize what kind of musician I actually am. I'm not, you know, just synthetic. Now, I'm not knocking on synthetic because I think that's also a beautiful sound too, but I like the mix, and that's why I'm kind of pop rock. But the 80s has a very distinct sound. You can't deny what decade, when you hear something from the 80s, you almost mm-hmm. can't deny what decade that came from.
I like what you said. I like you said that musicians were musicians, you know, because mm-hmm. I think even though with the synthetic sound that a lot of, you know, a lot of the synthesizers and stuff, people were being very creative and going off and splitting off all these different genres in the mm-hmm. early 80s that really influenced a lot of different areas of like from rock to new wave to dance. And to mm-hmm. even rap, you know, some of the you know, the early rap stuff, the classic, you know, backspin type type music.
Right.
So yeah. It's really
even the 80s cool. rap. I mean, there's so much about the 80s that I just adore, that it is definitely by far my favorite decade mm-hmm. of music. So not just genre, because there's so many genres that came out of the 80s, but my favorite decade of music mm-hmm. came from those years. Yeah.
Dave's researching.
I was I did have my microphone on mute for a second there though. But So, yeah, I guess I was actually expecting Rose to jump in there with something. So we haven't given her a chance to talk at all.
I'm sorry. I'm monopolizing.
Do you need more time, Dave? Or do you not need me to kill some time for you?
No, I don't. No,
Liz. Let's kill some time. I'll open a bottle of wine, and you just ask me some questions. How's that? There you go.
We call it sphering, actually, but that's an old joke. So
wine. Mixed drinks, yes. Wine, no. Wine doesn't need ice.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you hear my ice? I'm sorry. I did not bust out the sphere tonight. I only have ice cubes.
Well, it's still sphering.
Anyway,
quite the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have anything on some of what she was talking about?
I'm just soaking this all in because she kind of sounds like I gave birth to her or something. It's like my daughter's like 34, and when we go do karaoke, she gets up there and she does If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher. She does nice. Home Sweet Home. Play That Funky Music, White Boy. I mean, it's just, you would think that. And she was like a baby in the 80s, you know, at the crux of the 80s, the apex of the 80s, she was 9. So all of
so if she had that much of the 80s, I guess, if she was so young, yeah.
Yeah, but because her
parenting
mama.
Parenting 101. Parenting done right. See?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, the boys, however, the two older boys didn't really, they didn't buy into it. Probably because my oldest son... was born in like 79, and he had, you know, he went on a different path. First he went down like a metal path, and then he went rap, and then I was kind of dragging back and into the metal because the rap wasn't, and it's just like, okay, obviously I'm not getting him back. So, and that's kind of where he stayed. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Rap, hip hop, you know, has a huge, huge place in music history, especially in the, you know, the late 70s, early, you know, and all through the 80s. And, of course, it really took off in the 90s. And it's just, it was here to stay. I'm pretty much, you know, was kind of hoping it wasn't. But it's gotten more, it's always been about society and community, but it's gotten just a little bit more. And I actually have some artists that I listen to that I appreciate what they're saying, as opposed to... Mm-hmm. Stuff that you hear, you know, you can always tell to me, like a young rapper, when they're doing like the talking about the women, and it's very degrading, and then they're all the money that they're making, guns that they have, and all this stuff. It's just like, okay, let's put a little bit more substance and kind of a thing. But I was listening to your stuff today. I'm going on a rabbit trail now. But before I say that, I want to thank you for the retweet that you did for my pinned tweet.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I actually got 2 extra views from that, so I'm very excited.
Good. I'm glad. I love to retweet people. I think that Twitter is what it's about. It's about
and I don't see anything wrong with. So many people see something wrong, I guess, with helping other people out. You know,
love it. If you want someone to help you out, then you better be willing to do the same for them.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's what really Twitter is about. It's about really building each other. It's this very, what my mom would say, I repeat her a lot, it's a symbiotic relationship. Where you just help each other. That's it. Yeah. It's a simple concept, but that's what Twitter is.
I totally agree. So with your song, 80s Dream, I just really was so getting into that when I was listening to it again today. And it was just like, you know, I'm trying to, because I don't like to compare people, but you want to kind of go, where did I hear something like this before? I think like Martika. Or, you know, Gloria Estefan or somebody like that. And I'm just like, you know, it's such a really awesome. And your voice is just so amazing. you make, you know, you hit those notes so effortlessly, you know, just like, oh, how'd you do that? I know it's about here, but then you go down to tell me, and you just totally, like, change gears. I'm like, oh, my God, we got this Reiki thing going on. This is awesome. So it's not like, you know, when you hear, like, a new artist and they come out and pretty much all their stuff sounds the same, you know, because they've got that niche and that beat that they use. And I know there's some synth pop in there, you know, there's some, you know, mixes, you know, that you use, but it's just so big, you know, and it's just so full of life, you know, and then you get to, you know, hey, I'm just telling the truth, you know, you're the one actually doing this, this together. And, you know, and love makes the sound. I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Going in the club now, getting that groove on.
Yeah.
That floor filler on there. I was like, man, this, you know, I'm just super waiting for the, you know, something else to come from this because it's just.
You know what? Those three songs I have in my pin tweet there are co-wrote between myself and multiple Grammy winning Bob Cotterella, who as a producer, and it was just amazing to work with him, someone who worked at that level and who's just that talented. And so he built, and we co-wrote these songs, and he built some tracks, and he sent me different tracks, and I kind of picked out, I'm like, eh, well, and then eventually when we got down to, I flew to LA, and then we picked what I wanted to work with, and then we co-wrote some lyrics and melody, came up with a melody, and he took from my, which was wonderful to work with him, is he took from my own personal notebook where I write down lyrics and ideas and songs, and he said, what does this song mean to you, and what does that song mean to you, and how would we go about this song, and how, where do you see this direction, and anyways, so it was just really fun to pick these three songs to do and write with him, and it really was. It was just this incredible. It was my first experience. I wrote before for many years, and I did some backing vocals for several people, but this was the first time that I did my own thing where I fronted, and to have somebody see my vision and help me realize my own vision was just this incredible experience rather than try to just direct me and say, no, you need to do this or that or this.
Right.
That helped me kind of see what I wanted to be as an artist.
Did you feel empowered when you did that? You know, just this is my stuff.
He did, but you know what? He lit a fire under my feet that I already had there, but just ignited it to a point where I thought, I'm never going to, like, I'm going to die doing this for a living. I know it. I don't care if I'm living under a bridge. This is what I'm doing.
Nice. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a bit about your like there was a bio that you did or a interview that you did where you're talking about where you were studying to become a psychologist, and then you had just switched gears because you knew this was what you're passionate for, and I totally admire that in so many ways because I've had that same conversation with my kids. I've got three kids and. That's a life lesson that I'm trying to teach them because, you know, right now I'm doing a job, you know, but it's not something I'm passionate about. It doesn't get me excited to get me out of the bed, but, you know, I'm sitting there at the table and I'm trying to say, if you find that thing that you're passionate about and you love to do, that's what you should be pursuing. Please do that. You know? And you did that. So I'm that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I think every parent wants their kid in a certain way to make sure their future is going to be okay. And, you know, my mom would love to see me be a doctor and a lawyer and a dentist and everything else in between. And so for the longest time, I was the last. I mean, I think we all go through, you know, junior high and high school where we think, hey, we're going to be rock stars. And eventually the dream dies because we have this feeling of it's never going to happen or let's be realistic or let's be – I was the last person for that dream to die for. And then I eventually went to school and went on to college. And I don't regret college. I love having the degree in psychology, and I will always give credit to actually having that degree for putting me back on the path of doing what I really wanted to do, because it was the right class and the right professor that I had, and we were talking about our own beliefs dictating our actions, and we were having an open discussion in class, and then I sort of had this own self-reflection, if you will, I guess, of what happened. What happened to me that I stopped believing that I could, you know, be in music for a career? What took place in my life where I stopped believing in myself? Or did I stop believing in myself? I didn't even know if I stopped believing in myself. But yeah. I'm certainly not going in that direction at this moment. But the moment I knew I had 3 weeks left of this class, and I knew what I had to do, and I knew I had to shut it down. I said, after this class, I called in my school and I said, I'm no longer going to pursue this. And I was already doing things in the music industry anyway, but I wanted to pursue it more heavily. And I couldn't do it if I couldn't take on a full load of school and the industry at the same time. It was just a lot. And so I had to make a choice, and I made a choice based on what I truly wanted. And I don't have a lot of regrets in my life, but I was starting to regret not fully going for it the way I should have gone for it. And
okay. Yeah, that's like most people in life, really. That's one of those things that I think we all do, you know. Hindsight is 20/20, right? I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in on your thought process.
No,
that's very potent. I mean, that's a strong statement. That's awesome.
Thank you. I didn't want to be the person. I mean, I even have a conversation with my mom every now and then about her hopes and dreams, and I said, well, why didn't you pursue those or this or that or, you know, all those things? And I just didn't want to be, eventually, when I have kids, to say, oh, I didn't do this because this, this, and this. I would rather go for something and fail miserably than not go for it and say I never even tried.
Well, dang it, now you're calling me out for accountability.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Degree in psychology is working very well for you.
Thank you. You know, I've really appreciated my degree in psychology, and then even what I'm doing in the music industry, so...
So how did you go from psychology to, I mean, I know, I understand your music, your love of music, and and your, how do you make that transition? Because it's hard for people to break off from something that they're,
break off for me. Like, I was trained in music, so it wasn't like, hey, one day I'm going to be, you know, a rocket scientist, and I don't know anything about science. From the time I was just a little thing, I would make up songs about my day, and I would sing them. I would sing my day, and that's when my mom realized this girl likes to sing, so she put me in private lessons. And then when school hit, I did choir, and I did band, and I did all, you know what I mean? So I was definitely trained in music. Even outside of school, I still continued even with private lessons and things like that. But so it wasn't a complete turnaround of something that I didn't know exactly what I was doing. There's definitely things that I've learned in the business sense, because everything is business. Even music is business. You can be passionate about something, but it's definitely business. So I'm still learning very much the business aspect of the industry. But the passion was always there. And like I said, I was starting to regret not going for it. And I'm glad I kind of recognized that really young, before I felt maybe it could be one day too late for me. And I don't want to be that person that says, hey, it's too late.
Never do it.
I don't think it is either. I really don't think it is. Like, you know, one of my heroes.
From a personal point of view here.
No. Well, I love Sia as an artist. Sia mm-hmm. is incredible. She did a lot of things behind the scenes for so many years. She was a co-writer to so many wonderful, amazing hits. But she didn't come out, I think, with her own hit until she was like mid to late 30s. I mean, that girl was pushing 40 before she came out with her own stuff. And I thought, that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. And anyways, but I didn't want to be that age either. I was like, I want to do this now.
Yeah, you kind of do want to do it now, but, you know, it doesn't. It's hard to believe, and I'm just, like I said, once again, speaking from a personal view, that when I tell people, yeah, I've been working on this album since 2009, and every year I add on to that, I go, geez, really? What in the world? How is this not taking off yet? But it takes time. Not the overnight
time.
Not, that
and
is
you know
not
what?
A thing.
If you're like me, I think I have a lot of good traits, but patience is not one of them. And so when I'm trying to build an album, which I am, I go back into the studio in January, and you know. But if you're like me, I wanted everything to be done yesterday. Why isn't it done already? But you have to make sure that. And I've learned, and this is one of those hard pills to swallow, but time is also okay, and it can be a good thing, because maybe you jumped the gun if you went too fast, and maybe the track that you were building wasn't quite the right track for you, or and this is just something that you learn through time and the hard way, and but I've learned to appreciate that, and the track that actually my guitarist and I, EB, who is just a good friend and just a phenomenal musician, we're building a track right now that if we had pushed this track to be any faster than what it is, it just would not be the beautiful thing that it is. And it is, it's coming out beautifully. I can't imagine a better track, but it has taken an entire month just to build this one track, where sometimes other tracks had literally taken like 2 days or a half a day, and you can't tell with music. Sometimes a hit is written in 20 minutes, and sometimes it takes months, and there's no rhyme or reason of why it takes the time it does, but I've just learned not to push it, just let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good advice.
Thank you.
Well, I think I'm going to switch gears here. what you guys don't know, or you know, what happens is that I play music during my son's hockey games. My son is 12 years old, and what it is, I've got an iPad that I have set up where I play, let's say, music snippets for you know the break and plays between anytime the ref blows the whistle before they drop the puck again. And almost everything that's on my iPad for those break-and-play songs are 70s, 80s, very, very few 90s. But, you know, they're staples. You know, they're the those songs that are, you know, when you think that time period, you know, you think Back in Black, or you think, I've got Tub Thumping, even though that's not an 80s, but, you know, I mean...
Definitely 90s, I think.
Yeah. But, you know, but my point was that I've got one track that I, you know, it starts the intro of Ghostbusters, and I found it funny was because there's one of the times that I played this, and we were out in the lobby, and I heard a parent from the opposing team say something like, well, why is this guy playing Ghostbusters? You know, the kids don't know it, you know? And
yes, they do.
Like, yes,
liar.
They do.
That parent is lying.
but you know, the point being is just that, you know, you have those, you know, those iconic songs that, you know, anytime you're listening 80s, you always hear, you know, that one song that always seems to come up. I guess if you're listening to, you know, whatever it is, say Spotify or Pandora, whatever you listen to, Kristen, what one 80s song always seems to come up?
Anything Journey. Anything Journey. But I know more Journey songs than most people might know my age. But if we're going to talk about typical Journey songs that people know that are my age, are Don't Stop Believing and Faithfully. And it's funny that you brought up Ghostbusters, because I know that song inside out.
Ray Parker.
It's just a fun guy. I know, it's just fun. But, you know, Ghostbusters are back in now. I mean, that movie, you know, the newest movie just came out not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I think, like, anything, it has
Stranger
a cycle.
Stranger Things.
Oh, my God. I'm such a Stranger Things geek. I am totally a Stranger Things geek. It is, like, the new modern day, but based in the 80s, like, Ghostbusters, essentially, and meets D&D. And just incredible. I don't know who wrote that, but just, I'm going to thank them. I'm going to thank them for changing my life.
Talking about Journey, I'm so glad you brought this up, because Journey is like, I love Journey. It's one of my favorites bands. And I actually, this is going to sound really weird, but Steve Perry was like, the people in high school, like these friends of mine's, friends of mine said that I looked like Steve Perry. I'm like, I look nothing Steve Perry.
Are you single? Anyway.
No, I've been married for almost 24 years. Thank you. Probably almost as old as you are. So
he doesn't have the hair anymore either. So
it's funny. I totally shaved everything off. All my head. I completely shaved my head today because it was just jumping out for life. You know, it was done. So anyway, but back to Journey. So I always loved Journey, and I still don't think I looked anything like Steve Perry, even though I had, like, you know, kind of the longer hair and the mullet, and I had a similar jacket that he wore, but and the nose. I have the nose. Okay.
The nose. I love his nose.
He
looks like a man.
So, I'm curious your take on Arnel Panetta. Or Panetta, however you say his name, taking over as Steve Perry, or vocalist. I think he did a fabulous job, but I'd love to hear your side of the story. And have you seen the documentary about him coming on to the band?
I haven't seen the documentary, but I actually went to my first Journey concert this summer. And of course, Arnel is the one who's fronting the band right now. And he is a fantastic performer. I mean, Journey is still selling out. This is one of the wonderful things about, I dragged my friend out with me. She kind of went reluctantly. And I get this question a lot from my friends, like, why do you drag us out to see your old man band? That's the quote that they say, your old man band. And I'm like, and I'm like, that is blasphemy in my house. You watch your mouth now. But every time I drag a friend out, quote unquote, they have such a fantastic time. Like, just fantastic time. These are the people who really know what musicianship is about, who really know how to play to a crowd, who... Anyways, Journey, when I couldn't get the tickets in Oklahoma that I wanted. I was going to be up in Nosebleed, so I actually went and bought and purchased tickets in Missouri and traveled 3 hours out of state to go to this concert.
Nice.
And it was just a sold-out crowd, and Arnel was jumping all over the stage like nobody's business. I mean, I couldn't keep track of where he was going.
Yeah, he's got a lot of energy. Definitely.
He does. It was incredible. I mean, he was singing, he was jumping, he was singing while he was flying. I mean, it was fantastic. And I would think, and I have a lot of respect for him, because it must be really difficult to walk in the shoes of Steve Perry. But he does it, and he does it well, and he does it with, like, so much grace, and I couldn't say enough good things about Arnel.
I think you should go. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but it was on Netflix for a while. It's called Don't Stop Believing. It's a really, really fascinating story about how Arnel was brought onto the band.
I don't know how he's found. He's found on YouTube, which
yes,
is kind of cool.
And I don't mean to take anything away from Steve Perry, because I know that he's the original, and that and mm-hmm. I love Steve Perry. I love his vocals. He's a very talented singer. But I think mm-hmm. it's a really interesting story of how they were able to find somebody that could mm-hmm. Sound so similar. In mm-hmm. his singing talent, mm-hmm. it's just incredible. But anyway, I think it's just really, really cool that Journey is one of your favorites, and
it is definitely one of my favorites. And yeah. I owe that to my mother.
So let me ask you now. You said that a couple of your songs that you mm-hmm. that jump out at you that you say are like you know some of your favorites to mm-hmm. hear are like "Don't Stop Believing" and "Faithfully." But like, is mm-hmm. there like a deep track that's from one of those more obscure albums?
Well, you know what, my favorite Journey song is something that I relate to more than, and I don't hear a lot of other people talk about it, but is "Still They Ride."
Okay, that's a good one. Wow,
beautiful.
I don't know if I guess you know it, but "Still They Ride," And I relate to it in the sense of, you know, there's a town that sometimes I go back to that I wish I felt more connected to, but I don't. And I'm still, and so there's so many levels I think I connected. And then just the melody itself is just beautiful. I connect to it. And
so maybe you should consider doing that on one of your videos.
I thought about it, but I just did a Separate Ways video cover.
I love that. It was very good. Well,
did you
very
see it?
Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Loved it.
Thank you.
Love the slower melody. You toned it.
Yeah,
it
was a
really,
piano
really...
acoustic.
Yeah.
I would never want to cover it in the way that Journey did, because I think if you try to copy Journey, you're going to fail miserably. I mean, they are their own entity, I guess, but yeah. So I wanted to Kaibo it, really. Like, how would I Kaibo this song? And so I think I found a way to do it, and which was the slower, let's slow this down and let's make this acoustic. And but if I can find "Still They Ride" similar to that, yeah, I would like that is my all-time favorite Journey song, and it has more to do with me being connected to it than anything else. But my favorite album was their last album that they did with Steve Perry, which is "Trial by Fire."
Really?
And there's so many songs, and maybe I don't know if it was because I was alive for that album. I don't think so, but or if it was maybe they just got to a point as a band where they were so good at what they were doing. They just put their best of the best of the best into this album. And that's my personal feeling. I don't know, but
I believe that timing is crucial when it comes to your influences as far as pop culture and new movies, music, TV. It's all about the timing. And you know, like I did not discover you mentioned Whitesnake. Okay. And I love David Coverdale. He's great singer, great musician.
He's got a great scream.
And we talked about Rose and Dave and I talked about this a few weeks back about an album that I discovered late on. Like I only discovered it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but it was released in like the early 90s, or I can't even remember when it was released. But it was covered. Was it 92? It was Coverdale and Jimmy Page. And it was this great little album that I just never explored it. So the timing of it coming into, like, me experiencing it and understanding it, and, like, it was just perfect timing so that I could really love it the way I do. And it's become one of my favorite albums. It really it's really, really well done. But it's really cool how timing is so important to how you experience everything that's going on as far as pop culture goes.
Right. Well, my favorite album on the planet, and has always been, and there's been no other album that's came after it or before.
Can't wait to hear this. This is going to be good.
I love so many bands, and sometimes I kind of hate saying this because I don't want to, other bands to think that I don't appreciate what they're doing for work, and I feel bad picking favorites. But it is actually Steve Perry's solo album, For the Love of Strange Medicine. It is my favorite, favorite album. It is such a soulful, sultry, just beautiful. I almost can connect with every song on there, not only just lyrically, but I just, you know, him and he worked with Lincoln Brewster. Just make an incredible, incredible team. And anyways, my favorite album, hands down. There's no other winner. Yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And that's 90s, which is kind of weird because my biggest influence is the 80s, but this actual album comes from the 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as the three of us are concerned, we feel that the three decades that we really tend to focus on is the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I would say probably the three of us lean heaviest on the 80s as far as some of our musical influences and our not influences, loves for music. Because I'm not a musician, okay? And I don't know. I don't think Dave plays any musical instruments either. I know Rose can sing. She's got a she's got a hell of a voice too. Check her out on YouTube. Yeah. She's got a few things out there. She's pretty good too. So, but I just, it's, you know, as far as those decades go, we love that. Can I talk to you about a couple of your, like, your influences, like your main influences? Now, in your when you were tweeting earlier as the day was going on, you said something about Joan Jett, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Dave and I have had this thing going on.
Thank you for bringing this up, Scott. I see exactly where you're headed.
Dave and I have had this thing going on about, and we haven't sat down and done an actual podcast on this, and we've been talking about it for about, I think it's about 2 years now that we've been going back and forth about this conversation.
Scott, I think it's important that you don't tell them which side we're on this discussion.
Oh.
Interesting. Let's see where they
Let's see where where both of them. I think Rose probably already knows.
Chris, one of us prefers Pat Benatar. One of us prefers Joan Jett.
Oh.
And we've been talking about doing a versus, you know, Joan Jett versus Pat Benatar, vice versa. So just from the conversation that we've had tonight, I know you don't really know us very well, but who do you think is leaning towards Pat Benatar or Joan Jett?
I wouldn't know. I do know that both of them
are on the spot.
Amazing to me in different ways, though, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Pat Benatar, I can relate to her more musically, but Joan Jett, because I know a little bit of her history, I can relate to her work ethic, and because of that, she's quite a hero of mine. And
so you're saying Joan Jett is your pick?
You're asking me to choose between who I love more, mommy or daddy?
Yes. Well, we actually are. Yes. we're mean.
There's
that
a little
way.
Tear coming to my eye.
You must choose one.
Oh no, or die, right? Yeah. Okay. I can't. I really don't know who loves who.
So which your personal choice? Okay. If you're sitting, listening.
They're
to
so
your
different
music
to me. And you have, I know they're both rock, but Joan Jett's more hard rock to me, and Pat Benatar is more pop rock to me. And so,
have you ever listened to Promises in the Dark?
I don't know.
Just
I just
gave
depends.
It away.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
See, okay. I know you too. Okay.
I am the Pat Benatar fan. And I don't get me wrong, I love Joan Jett too. I love her style and her rocking, and she kicks ass. But there's something about Pat Benatar. A lot of her songs just really, I thought it was spectacular, especially growing up.
And I agree. I agree with that with both of them. I feel music, you know, why we call it art, because art is just another fancy word for creation.
Creativity.
It's so interpretive, right? So some people could relate more to Joan Jett and others could relate more to Pat Benatar. And that's the beautiful thing about art, because we're all so different. And what we connect to is just very interpretive.
Mm-hmm. I'm a photographer, so I totally get that. I understand.
Right. So there's no right or wrong answer to it, right? It's all about connecting and how you see it.
Perception is reality.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Hey, yeah. Photographer, I like you.
Well, you know, we actually, okay. I've got two props for Kristen just now. Earlier in the conversation, she actually used her last name as a verb, where she was talking about how do I kaivo a song. So, you know, anytime somebody can use their last name into a verb is just absolutely outstanding with me.
She was
going to choose Joan Jett, by the way. Just saying.
I did not say that, no.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one.
I could tell. We would have given her another minute.
You could tell.
Joan Jett is definitely
amazing, yes.
So, Dave, my last name is Compton. How do I make that into a verb?
How do you Compton a song? Yeah. How do we Compton this?
First of all,
you
should talk to NWA and see what they went with Compton. So, because I've heard that all my life. Straight out of Compton. Yes, straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for your input on the whole Pat Benatar and Joan Jett thing. Dave and I have been talking about it for a while, and
put it to rest.
No,
for you.
You know what? No, it's totally cool. I get it. I didn't intentionally come into this conversation thinking I'm going to put her on the spot and make her choose one.
That's my job.
That's Dave's job.
Yeah.
He's the overlord.
Yeah.
But I do like to hear the other influences that you talk about, strong woman or female vocals that have influenced you, like Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Wilson.
Yes.
Anne Wilson.
I love Heart. The Wilson sisters are just incredible to me.
I love strong. By the way, your version of Alone. How you were able to dub in your own voice as a harmony was phenomenal. Really well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
very
you.
Well done.
Yeah, they are definitely heroes of mine for sure. As a matter of fact, and everybody goes through this no matter what they're doing, whatever industry they're in. Sometimes life gets tough and you question if what you're doing is the route you should take. And I kind of put that out there on Facebook one day, and it was a friend of mine who sent me actually an article from one of the sisters who went through a similar situation before they made it. And it was exactly what I needed to hear, to not want to quit and keep going through. And because he knew I was such a huge fan of the 80s and a huge fan of Heart, it was, you know, I don't think the article coming from anybody else would have had the same impact. So actually coming from one of the Wilson sisters was just incredible. And, their voices are huge and big and powerful, and they've kind of paved the way for how women can rock in amazing ways. Something that I never didn't believe in the first place, but just to have somebody pioneer it like they did, and, you know, if I could one day be compared to either of them, would just be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They're incredible.
Well, their self-titled album was the one with Alone on it. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was little trivia thing. That was my first CD I ever bought.
Ooh.
Okay. Now I was, you know, I was growing up as, you know, with LPs and cassettes, but Heart's self-titled album was my first CD.
First album.
First CD.
CD?
Yeah, first CD. This thing called compact discs. this is not. They were not. This is way before MP3s.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So an actual CD. It was physical. It was in your hand.
Yes,
okay,
I got it. For Christmas, I got a CD Walkman, Sony CD Walkman. And my first CD I went out and bought was the album, was Heart. So
that is incredible.
Love it. Great, great album.
I didn't even, you know, this is, you know, how much knowledge I have, but I didn't even know Heart, you could get it on CD. I would have thought I went back to tape.
Well, no, you can go back to, I actually have some old, I have one of the original Heart albums from the 70s. Like Butterfly. What is it called? Butterfly.
Right.
Is it Dog and Butterfly?
Yeah, Dog and Butterfly. I have that on LP. It's in my garage in a box, but I have it.
I have
no way of playing it, but it's really cool to be able to go back and look at that stuff. So
No, it's incredible. They are just such a huge, influential band for me. Roxette is another one. It didn't get brought up today.
Roxette,
but
nice.
Yeah. I was lucky that my mom and actually one of her friends gave me a mixed tape. It was a tape, but a cassette tape. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was trying to push it and, you know, poke at it. Like, it's not turning on. What do you... And so I learned you have to put it in the player and you have to close it. Anyways, but I found my mom's old cassette player. And, but it had so many different bands. One was actually all Journey, and the other one was mixed, and it had some Heart. It had Tom Petty. It had Sheriff on it.
Really? Sheriff?
Yeah. Baby, yeah. Anyways, but it had some incredible bands on there. Richard Marx was on there. And Belinda Carlisle.
I mentioned Glass Tiger.
I love Glass Tiger.
Like, that's not like a normal band that a lot of people refer to.
No.
Well, it's so sad because it's such a huge band in the 80s. I mean, they had Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone and Someday.
I thought that's what it was because they didn't they do?
Yeah,
yeah, they did huge. Yeah. Their biggest break was opening for Journey. And,
wow.
Yeah. And so, and after that, they had several like huge, huge top of the chart hits. And, it's kind of sad when I hear someone not knowing who they are. And I'm like, oh, it's a little tear being shed right now. I think somewhere a kitten might have died that you just said that. But
a kitten might have died.
Fred might have died right now.
An angel lost its wings.
Oh my goodness.
An angel, yes, exactly. Glass Tiger is a phenomenal, phenomenal band. They really are. I'm a huge fan. So if you look at my wall at all on Twitter, you'll see me tweet Glass Tiger things all the time. So, yeah.
That's cool because that keeps people in the loop there. And
Yeah.
So Rose is a huge fan of another band that's similar. I would say similar to Glass Tiger in their popularity in the States. Okay. Rose is a huge fan of A-ha.
Oh, I love A-ha.
Take on me.
Take on me. Yeah.
They're huge overseas, like over in Europe.
They're from Norway, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like one of Rose's. It's one of Rose's. It is Rose's all-time favorite band.
Well, that song is phenomenal.
Yeah. There's so much more to them, though. She was talking about, you know, some of her favorite albums a few weeks ago when we were on, and she said the lead singer, Morten Harket, you know, did some solo stuff, and he's got an amazing voice. So it's really cool to hear people reference bands that are not in the that didn't become mainstream as much as like Journey. I mean, everybody knows Journey. Thank you to Glee for bringing them back.
You know, even what's sad about Journey, everybody knows Journey, but only a couple of songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish that people knew Journey the way I knew it and knew all of their songs, because all of them are fantastic. All of them.
Yeah. My personal personal favorite song from Journey is Escape.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's...
And Dave, what about you? What's your favorite Journey song?
Oh, I'm always mainstream. So it's
Say Sweet and Simple. Say it. Do it. Say it.
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. It's I can't be driving down the road and have Don't Stop Believing come on and not just turn it up a few notches, maybe to 11.
Turn it up to 11.
Journey song that I wouldn't crank in my car, but not a single one. They're all so good. I mean, that tells me that is a band that's been together long enough to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Blue. Yeah. Rose, what about you? What's your favorite song from Journey?
Well, I have to admit, I've been known to close a few karaoke sessions with open arms.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Well played, Rose. Well played.
She knows what she's doing.
Yes.
I mean, that closes the night. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested, Kristen. When your mom was sharing her musical interests, how was she sharing that with you? Was she putting an LP in?
She played it. No, it was on the radio or it was on like a CD. It was just playing in the house, especially when we were cleaning. And of course, we cleaned massively a couple times a week. You know, she'd call it spring cleaning, but we would do it all year long. Why are we spring cleaning again? And we would spring clean a couple of times a week. And
it's like November, you know.
Yeah.
Spring cleaning, wait.
Yeah, so she'd play, but she would blast the music. I mean, just blast it, and we would clean for hours. And so I would get a lot of music. And she had the radio set to this older station that I would wake up in the morning to 80s music. That was my alarm clock. And so I would wake up to even things like Starship. Sarah was playing, and I thought I was listening to brand new music, but turns out, nope. But it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience for me. And when I went to the Journey concert this summer, except for a few of us, most people were sort of in the 40-plus group range, which was fine. And I'm glad that Journey's still selling out concerts, but I thought that was the big turning point for me for really wanting to get this sound back out to people who are my age, because it was just such an incredible, beautiful, beautiful sound, and I hope to do that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? We probably have a lot of Twitter shout-outs that we got to do, because there's a lot of people that were responding to the tweet I did earlier. So I think it'd be fun to read through some of them, and then, you know, we can comment.
That'd be fun. Yeah. You know I like Twitter. Yep.
Earlier, I mean, really, essentially what I did was, what I said was, I put the tweet out there, said, we're talking to you, we're wondering about, you know, the 70s, 80s influences, and then people have been responding throughout the day. So the first one was, it looks like Vittoria Galli, which is at Victory Galli 3, heart exclamation point, Sister Wilson exclamation point. So we already talked about heart. Another good one was Fall of Rain, which is at Samhain 163. Put very simply, a picture of Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. Gotta love that song.
I don't give a damn about Bad Reputation. That's good stuff.
I can relate.
I think
to
that's
that.
That's my favorite song by Joan Jett, actually. That's
It's a good one. I love it. I like that she takes a stance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. About whatever it is. She owned herself, and I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the popularity of, like, even using songs like that in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, just even help, it kicks it up a notch, you know, for the, you know, even the kids nowadays to enjoy these kind of songs. Because they're like, you know, they now have something to relate it to. And it's like, oh, that's that song that was on there. And then maybe they listen to more. Who knows?
You know what? And what I love about, I guess, messages like that is we're not getting so much of it now. A lot of what I hear from modern, and don't get me wrong, I love modern day music too. I do. I love it. I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting a lot about make money and take off your clothes. Like, what? What's happening? But that's what's happening. And I don't want to knock on somebody else's creativity because, again, music is very interpretive. But I love a message about not caring about reputation and just doing your own thing and being who you are and owning it and being proud of it. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah. I think that's a good message. If I was going to teach anybody anything, that I would rather teach them that song than
All right. Next up was Antero at Antero Harriko, Harriko. We were actually exchanging a little bit back and forth of songs from Joan Jett. So looked like he put I Love Rock and Roll, you put Another Dime in the Jukebox Baby, and then he wrote I Hate Myself for Loving You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yes.
Yep.
And I've always actually been a fan of Writing with James Dean. That's been one of my faves from that album.
I relate more to I Hate Myself for Loving You. I think I've been there. So I get it. Joan Jett did do a lot of songs that kind of, for me at least, kind of hit right at home. Mm-hmm. And she wrote them in a way that was simple enough for anyone and everyone to understand, but brought them in a way musically, lyrically wrote them in a way, but musically brought them in a way that just cut you right to the core. And I loved it. I love it. It's just an incredible, incredible musician.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was gonna give Kristen a little bit of a hard time here. I think I see where you guys are going with the Joan Jett versus Pat Benatar thing.
I love Pat Benatar.
No, I know, and I'm just giving you, I'm just ribbing you a little bit. You know, I have to do that. That's who I am. I gotta give people a hard time every once in a while. No, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love Joan Jett, and I love a lot of her stuff, and I love her crunchy guitar sounds that she puts out there with a lot of her music, and it's right up my alley. So anyway, I just think I had to throw that out there. Just don't mind me. I'm just gonna stand over here.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody's music stylings referred to as crunchy.
Oh, I love crunchy.
Yeah, that is
crunchy
actually
guitar, man.
Crunchy.
I mean, it's, you know, there's something about that grinding sound. It's I love that hard guitar. That really, it to me,
it's going
to
be a new saying. We're going to actually, let's make that a verb on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Guitar sound crunchy. Oh.
Yes. Hashtag crunchy. Yes.
It's really.
It's like so crunchy.
We're going to crunchy everything.
Like, what the hell is that?
I can't wait till I tweet you and tell you guys how crunchy you are.
Oh, perfect.
Yay!
All right. Well, I'm glad I was able to add that in there, you know. Throwing that to you guys. I've used that saying for like heavy metal, because I did a a series of heavy metal of the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, me and a couple other guys, we broke down each year, and we talked about the metal, heavy metal albums of each year. And yes, I used the word crunchy many times on some of the some of the sounds of the guitar. And I wish I could bring up, I wish I could think of a song that I could refer to as crunchy right off the bat, but I can't because because, you know, when you're put on the spot, sometimes you just can't recall that stuff. So anyway, why don't you guys move along with the conversation? I'm going to step over. I'm just going to listen for a while.
Scott's going to be over to the side.
Think of things that are softer than crunchy. There, yes.
Okay, now I will say that Faithfully by Journey is not crunchy.
It's definitely not crunchy. It's smooth. If it was peanut butter, it'd be smooth peanut butter.
Yes!
So now everything's related to peanut butter. Great.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys playing along with my little, you know, my own little, the thoughts that go through my own little brain, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, so now every song we bring up from now on is either going to be creamy or crunchy. So.
I love it. You should have a whole segment, creamy or crunchy.
Yes.
Hey, you know, that's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. You should do it.
That is not a bad idea at all.
Just make sure when you do your creamy and crunchy segment, you tag me in it so I can...
There you go.
All right.
Well, so Joan Jett. Let's go this route. Ready? Joan Jett. Joan Jett. Crimson and Clover is creamy.
Ooh, yes, that's creamy. Creamy. Yeah. Yes.
Bad
that's
Reputation
creamy.
Is crunchy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I like this. Yes. You should do this segment. You should post post two different artists and ask who's creamy and who's crunchy.
Huh.
It would be good. It'd be really good. There's a couple of different accounts that do that. Mitch Lafone does that. I don't know if you're aware of that, but he will like compare Kiss and compare like Ozzy and who do you like better. But if you did the same kind of similar thing and then say creamy or crunchy, who's creamy, who's crunchy? I think it would go well.
This is a very good concept. I like this.
Not a bad idea.
So
yeah.
If Joan is crunchy, then we're saying Pat is creamy?
She's creamy.
No. Not always. Not always. There are some songs by Pat Benatar that...
It depends on the song, I guess. It really does depend on the song, but...
Yeah.
Now, do we go with creamy or smooth?
Ooh. Well, we have to keep with crunchy, don't we?
whatever the product line is, I think it's creamy. You know, if you go buy a can of Jif or whatever it is, isn't it creamy? Isn't that how it's sold?
All right, real quick.
I don't know. Maybe I think it's sold as smooth. Maybe I have no idea.
Real quick little side note here. When it comes to peanut butter, are any of you allergic? First of all,
no,
I am.
No, I'm not. Oh, are you? Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this whole conversation is breaking out.
Rose, Rose, you don't get to answer this. Dave and Kristen, which do you prefer, creamy or crunchy?
Oh, when it's actual peanut butter?
Yes, real peanut butter. On the mood, okay. So you go either way.
It depends. It really depends. Yeah, I'm not really good at this because there are definitely days where I prefer creamy peanut butter. It's usually in the morning when I prefer creamy peanut butter. Isn't that interesting? And then by the end of the day, if I'm going to have peanut butter, I'd rather it crunchy.
Wow.
So do you keep both in the house?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. I'm kind of a moody kind of girl.
That's very interesting. I think this should be a new question for all of our guests.
Creamy or crunchy. You can tell a lot of person about a person by that. And you know what? If people don't like both, then you need to get rid of them in their life. They are not the people for you.
Unless they're allergic. That's okay. Then
unless
they're okay
allergic.
With it.
Yes, Yeah, Rose is okay.
She's thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. See, do you remember when we, at the beginning of the conversation when we said that I have a tendency to go on tangents?
Yes, we yes. did. I've enjoyed it.
I believe I've set the perfect example of
yes,
why
have.
I have that reputation. We are no longer talking about 80s music. We are talking about creamy and crunchy peanut butter.
What the hell happened?
Which is amazing. I love it. I love it. You know what? I was the sneak the peanut butter kind of kid. I had a dresser that was kitty corner in my room, and I would take the jar of peanut butter from my mom's cupboard, and I would run, and I'd go under the dresser, and I'd hide, thinking she would never find me. But it was the same hiding spot every time she found me, so I don't know what my reasoning was, but... and I would spoon the peanut butter and just eat it. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not that much older, but at least I don't have to sneak it from my mom, but I still do it. I still do the same thing. Except I do it at my table. I don't have to go
on the dresser. I don't know if you'd fit under that dresser now, but height, you know, just the height thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't hide anywhere, but there's a part of me that still feels like I'm doing something bad.
I'm quickly approaching 50, and I grab a spoon and a jar of peanut butter every once in a while, and I am not ashamed. And my wife will be like, hey, good. Give me a bite, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. You're a good couple then. You should probably get that bulk size or something so you can both just
do. Hey, no, we do actually order it, like, multiple jars at a time.
It?
Yeah, we order it on Amazon. Cause,
oh, wow.
Okay, so guess what? You get to learn a little bit more about Scott tonight. I apologize. I go off in my own little world, but mm-hmm. we order stuff. This peanut butter from New York. They have their own peanut butter store, and
I'm interested now.
It really is like the tastiest peanut butter that I've had. You can go and you can get the standard store brands and all that stuff, you know, Jif and Skippy.
Is it better than Jif and Skippy? Oh,
it really is. And I hadn't had it in years. My wife and I went there for a trip like over 10 years ago, and we found this place, and they have their own peanut butter store. Right, it's just peanut butter. That's all they have is peanut butter, and
it's just peanut butter.
It's really bizarre. And I had a peanut butter shake that was phenomenal, and mm-hmm. so my wife was, you know, she's been on this Amazon. Everybody's on Amazon and ordering stuff through Amazon. So she found mm-hmm. peanut butter, and it was from this New York peanut butter company. I think that's what it's called. And she ordered it, and I hadn't had it in years, and I busted it open, and I busted a spoon out right away just to taste it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is like dessert peanut butter. It's so good. And I feel like, Rose, I'm so sorry. I'm leaving you out of the conversation because you're
– No, it's okay. You have to understand, I wasn't always allergic, and I just within the last 10 years I had developed a nut allergy. So in my childhood – I was able to eat peanut butter. I just do it now. So I do.
Sunflower seed butter.
You know, I haven't tried that yet, but I can eat some.
Try it. I would try it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, about those 80s songs, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I actually just looked these guys up because I'm just morbidly curious. So Peanut Butter and Company. Yeah, of New York. Right. Yeah, if you're looking for a sponsor, I think you found one. So,
peanut butter sponsor.
Yeah, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast,
sponsor, I would. I'm like, first come, first serve. I will take it. You got peanut butter? All right.
Wow.
I will work for peanut butter. How's that?
Yeah.
I might actually work for peanut butter.
We'll get paid in peanut butter. That'll work.
That's like the newer version of getting paid for like working for peanuts, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the 2017 version. I will work for peanut butter.
This has been fun. My stomach is starting to hurt from laughing so much. It's good stuff.
So one of the tweets that we got, I'm curious. I don't understand it, but maybe you do, Kristen.
Okay.
Get calibrated at ANXNOT says, ask Kristen about get calibrated song decisions. Do you know what that's
about? I don't know.
Okay.
I would have to look at it. I would definitely have to look at it to make sure. Is there a link or anything?
No. The person just tagged me and didn't tag you. It says that he's a guitarist of 35 years looking for recording deals like everybody else.
Get calibrated.
It might just be somebody kind of putting their own name out there. I have no idea, but I mean, that's okay too.
I appreciate a
really good hustle. I do.
Get that name out there. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
No, I do. You know what? You kind of have to do that as a musician. You have to network and you have to get your name out there. So however you do it, I really appreciate how they do it.
You know, the reason why I thanked you earlier for your retweet is my other page, other than the 80s Music Girl, my newer page on Twitter, Dragons Rose Red, I recently received a request for follow from this gentleman. I think he's in the UK, I'm not sure. But it's one of those, you know, like, I don't know if it's a self-promoting thing, but he has a lot of humor and things in his tweets, and I thought, oh, this guy's pretty funny. But in his bio, he says DM for retweets. And I went, ooh. And he's got like 160,000 followers. I'm like, so I sent him a DM. I'm like, would you mind retweeting my pinned tweet? You know, just starting out. Kind of wanted to get the exposure. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And he like immediately responds, yeah, I charge for them.
Oh.
Well.
Not cool.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I called him, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, that's an interesting business to be. But I get it. It's like you said.
You know what? If you have that many people and you do have that much of an influence, then maybe you're right to start charging. I have no idea. I don't personally. I've got over 50,000 followers. I've only started July, so my count has grown incredible. The way I see Twitter, and every, you know, again, it's subject to interpretation, but the way I see Twitter is a very cooperative relationship. So if you want your stuff retweeted, then make sure that you're retweeting other people too. And I do that. I actually set times in the day because I can't be on Twitter all day long. So there's other social media accounts that I also do, you know, and then of course I've got my life outside of social media, so I set times in the morning and then around lunchtime, and I have another time in the evening and just before I go to bed where I will retweet all the people as much as I can who has retweeted me for that day. And just to kind of make sure that I'm paying attention. I want to give back the way you've given to me. And so thank you. And I think that's what...
Awesome. We appreciate you doing that for us. I speak for those people out there everywhere who aren't being charged for
being... Yeah, sorry. I don't think... If my person is Twitter should be a charged thing. This is social media, and it should be a free thing, and we're free to tweet or not tweet, I guess, but I would hope that people would retweet, especially if they are retweeting you, right? That's how I feel. I feel like we all get to the top together.
Reciprocation.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
So a few more Twitter shout-outs. Robert Sparrow at Francis215. He actually brought up two bands. Debbie Harry, Blondie, and Bangles.
I love Debbie Harry, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think I responded to that one. Debbie Harry was, for me, the most beautiful woman that came out of the 80s. And then, of course, it's just an incredible musician as well. Even in the 90s, I remember hearing her coming out with a song, Maria.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah, I loved that song. I didn't recognize her right away as the same person because I just heard it on the radio, but then when I kind of looked into it more, I was like, oh, hey. And, but just an incredible musician. Who, what I love about A Beautiful Woman is when they show that they are much more than a beautiful woman. And this is what Debbie Harry did for me, is she showed that, how, look at this, I know what I'm doing, I'm talented. And that was just incredible for me. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I was looking at one from Peggy Swan. At Peggy Swan 9, she was commenting on the original tweet that I put, said that she'd actually seen all the bands live, and they're awesome. So she was talking about Go-Go's, Heart, Pat Benatar, or no, I didn't put, yeah, I did put Pat Benatar and then Joan Jett. So
yeah.
I guess she had seen all of them live at one time. So that's impressive.
That's incredible. Yeah. That is incredible. Yeah. I am going to build a time machine and going to live in the 80s. I say that a lot, but you know, and then every time I say that, even on Twitter, I get those gifts out, and I usually get a Back to the Future gif, or sometimes it's a TARDIS from a Doctor Who, or either one.
Nice. Very good.
This is where I'm going. Yeah, I'm going back to the 80s, and I'm going to live there. Bye, guys. But okay. Yeah, I do. I get a little envious. And not in a bad way, but people who got to experience these big bands of that time, and but I still feel very lucky that they were such a big part, at least in my musical raising. And yeah.
Well, we have to thank your mom for that.
Yes, for thank you, Mom. Shout out to Momsy. Yes,
definitely.
Hey, Mom. Yeah,
definitely a shout out to your mom, because she really gave you a lot of great influences as far as musical.
She did.
It's great.
She did. As a matter of fact, one of my songs, "Love Makes the Sound," is very interpretive. It depends on who listens to it. My intentions were, the sound that love makes was that moment where you realize you're in love with somebody. You kind of have this sigh, you know, like that kind of, And this, anyways, it was meant to be romantic, but somebody else brought the idea of it was a more sexual thing. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant, but hey, whatever.
Well, like
I don't want to interfere with, you know what I mean? Anyway, so my mom wasn't overly impressed with, because that's how she took it too. And you know, she's a mom, right? Like, you know. And so she said, you know, it's not what kind of I listened to back in the day. And I'm like, oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
I said,
thanks, Mom.
Because I remember the music that I grew up listening to. What's your favorite band? And she's like, sing something from Journey. So I started singing Love and Touch and Squeezing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, well, sorry, Mom. You're out.
That's a good one.
Point Kristen.
Point, yeah. Score one for Kristen. That's right. But she was good. She did a good job, and I'm really grateful for her influence in music. U2 was another big band. And The Box. You guys remember The Box? Temptation.
Wow. Blind Box. Temptation. You said The Box, and I heard crickets, like, through all of us.
Yeah, I know.
No, you don't remember The Box?
No, I don't.
I remember living in a box.
Oh, man, that was another... I don't know how big they were. I really don't. But that was something that was played a lot in my house.
Wow.
Look up The Box. Look up Temptation. Is it Little Sister? Anyways, it was a big influence.
Okay.
For me as well.
I'm gonna have to look it up now.
Yeah, look it up.
The Box. And that was the band.
The Box. That was the band. The Box. Yeah.
Okay. Where's my iTunes? So anyway, I always love when
they're
we talk about
Canada,
when we
they're a Canada band, New Wave.
When we talk about music, like many of the podcasts that we've talked about, there's always some kind of homework that I end up having to do, which I'm not complaining
homework,
about.
Huh?
Not like I'm complaining about homework, like back in school when I'm like, oh yeah, I did my homework. Lie.
I still complain about homework. Are you kidding me? I hate homework.
Yeah, I hated homework too. I swear I put it on her desk. I put it on the teacher's desk. And I don't know what happened to it. I did my homework. Whatever.
Okay.
So, but now with a lot of the stuff that we talk about with, like that whole series that I did on heavy metal, one of the guys that was part of the show, he used to bring like these obscure metal groups that I never really gave a chance to, and he'd throw them out there. I'm like, okay, I have to research this, and I would discover the most amazing things. Like,
yeah.
So now I have to look at the box. I have to find out how they sound. And
they sound incredible.
Really?
It's a very 80s metal-y pop. I don't know how to describe it. Alternative even band.
Okay, would you call them crunchy or creamy?
They are crunchy, creamy, smooth.
Good night.
I am. But I didn't know. I couldn't honestly tell you if they were huge or not. All I know is they were played in my house, and it was just an incredible sound to me, because what I knew of music was what was played by my mom, and I didn't know if they were huge. I mean, I didn't even know that I was listening to older music. So what did I know? You know, like, but and it's. Would you bring up a good point? There's so many bands out there that have an incredible sound and incredible songs that have never made a number one or topped anything because they just didn't have the opportunity to top anything. But they're worth topping things because they are that good. And so I am. But this was one of the bands that I just loved.
So the Box had four albums that they released. One was their.
Are you Googling? Googling is cheating.
No, Wikipedia.
Then we cheat all the time on this show.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Right.
Now I could break out the Funk and Wagnalls, encyclopedia books, but I don't think they would have the Box.
That would take a long time. Yes.
Yes. So four albums. Released between 84 and 90. So I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find some of them on like iTunes.
Temptation was one of my favorite, and I can't tell you the name of the other song that I really liked, but it's something about Sister. I don't know. It's kind of odd, but I really, really liked that band.
Okay.
And when they were having U2 days, that's the way I call it, the U2 days. On top of when we were playing U2, the Box was being played a lot as well. So I guess there were moods in the house, which I didn't recognize then, but there were definitely moods in the house where certain bands would play together. And
Rose, do you want to jump in on this one? Because you have
moody music days.
No,
moody music.
Rose has days. Like she has set up days of certain artists that are played on each day in her house, right?
Oh, actually, it's at work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah,
at work. Okay.
Yeah. Monday is Lamal Day. Lamal from Kajagoogoo. I play all of his hits, solo stuff. I'll listen to some Kajagoogoo, but he was the lead singer for a while. But it's mostly him. And then Tuesday is everyday music, and I kind of go with varied, like, alternative stuff. But it'll be, just an eclectic, like Morrissey. I'll have some Morrissey in there, and I'll have some Billy Joel, and I'll have, you know, just and some local people that I have CDs from. Wednesday's Aha Day. I play absolutely nothing. But
You don't do White Snake Wednesday? You do Aha Day?
Oh, yeah, White Snake Wednesday. Yeah. I like that idea, White Snake Wednesday.
I do it every Wednesday. Nice. I do White Snake Wednesday
that's
on my
cool.
page. Yeah.
See,
and I think even David, I don't know if you followed David Coverdale on his Twitter page, but, you know, he wishes everybody a happy White Snake Wednesday, too. So, you know, it makes sense, though, for him. Yeah.
I'm going to go find him right now.
Thursday's Goth Day.
Goth Day. Nice.
Yeah, I listen to Bauhaus and people like that. A lot of like dark alternative stuff. And then Friday's Rock Day because that's like the happiest day of the week. And I listen to everybody.
Yeah. You bring in the weekend on style. I like that.
There you go. Gotta kick it in.
I like it a lot. I have my song Somewhere in an 80s Dream actually has a lot of 80s references that most people don't pick up on. The Journey references are very obvious. But there's a White Snake reference in there, and there's a Sting reference in there that people don't actually hear. They have to listen for it. And if you knew their albums well or their songs well, then you would know those references. But you really have to kind of dig into it a little bit. But, yeah.
Very cool.
So I try to do different music days on Twitter as well for different favorite artists that I have.
Are any of those days devoted to Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, you know, party all the time. Party all the time. One of
no, Dave, but that's funny. Maybe I should do an Eddie Murphy day.
Right. So, Dave, I don't know if you were aware of this, but we're not. This is not the One Hit Wonders episode.
Oh, yeah, right.
I do definitely do a White Snake Wednesday. I do a Glass Tiger Thursday.
Ooh.
I try to do a cover once a week for me just to cover something. And then I just do random different artists throughout the week. But yeah, those are the two bands in the week though that I purposely give a shout out to.
Nice.
And I'm excited because Whitesnake and Foreigner are touring this year together.
Really?
And I am, yes. I am going to that concert, and I'm getting the meet and greet package.
That's for you.
All right. Mm-hmm. I got to find out if they're coming to Tampa because that would be a really sweet concert to go to.
Yeah, check it out. Foreigner's page actually has more, I'm sure Whitesnake has it too, but I think Foreigner has it in their pinned tweet.
Nice.
Of the dates and stuff and where to get your tickets and.
Okay, I'm gonna look this up. I know I'm a slave to Google and Wikipedia, but
no. No, it's fine. It is fine.
That's my 50-year-old brain doesn't really work as fast as it used to. So. Oh, they're coming to Clearwater. They are coming to Clearwater.
Are they coming close to you?
Yes.
Oh, man, we should go. We should go together.
At Ruth Eckert Hall. Oh, my gosh. It's a small venue.
You bring your wife, and then I'll bring somebody, and we'll all go. Let's do it.
We're going to Ruth Eckert Hall in February to see the Little River Band, by the way. Just
really?
Yeah.
Well, aren't
pretty
you
cool,
lucky?
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to New York in June. No, not June. July. Oh, my gosh. January. Holy cow. Never mind. It's one of the J months. That's it. It's January.
J months. Whenever. Whenever they want to send me.
Whenever. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm busy. Who cares?
As long as there's peanut butter, she's there.
Yeah, I know. It better be creamy and crunchy. There you go.
Excellent.
A little bit of both. But no, I've been working, you know, the first couple months of the 2018, I just don't even know what's happening because I'm so booked. But
well, congratulations. That's a good thing, right?
Thank you. That is a very good thing.
That's a really good thing.
It's a very good thing. things are kind of turning from me actually going to see people play into people coming to see me play, which is, it's a good
wow.
thing. But I am. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about doing my own thing and get my music out there. And yeah.
So do you have
and I hope to bring like an album beautiful coming sound. Out? Yeah, it's an EP, and we are taking some of the songs that I already have, and we're actually adding some live instruments to it. And then there's a track that my guitarist and I mentioned him a little bit earlier, AB, we're working on. And anyways, it's just an incredible track. He's such an incredible musician. And then I'll be meeting up with my drummer, Ray Maza, who's just an incredible, again, I work with the best of the best. I really feel like I've lucked out with the musicians that I work with. Nice. And I did, yeah, and who just, in many ways, I feel, I guess, inferior. Is that the right word? Yeah. These just are incredible, talented artists, and I'm supposed to front this band. They're way better than me. What?
But you want them to be, yeah. though.
You do. You know what? And you're right. You want to surround yourself with the best, because you can't become better unless you're surrounding yourself with the best.
Absolutely.
And so I have felt very lucky to be surrounded by the absolute best.
That's awesome. And I wish you the best. I'm very excited. And let us know, you know, when the EP drops so we can all get a copy.
Yeah, I know.
And
we can
retweet it and put it on Facebook or whatever. You know, we'll help you promote it. So
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've been a blast to have on here for a while. It's been great talking.
It's been my honor. I've been honored to be on here. Yeah, so thank you for reaching out and.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if people wanted to get a hold of you and follow you, I know you're on various social media fronts. Where can they find you?
Mostly just social media. On Twitter, my handle is Kristen Kaivo, but you can probably find me under Kaivo, K-I-V-O, but if not, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Kaivo. Instagram is Kaivo_official. And then Facebook, you can find me under Kaivo as well. So that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
That sounds great.
And I try to interact with as much people as I possibly can. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you're setting dedicated time for that. So that is awesome.
I do. I have to set some time. And there's two or three different times in the day where I actually try to get in there and interact with the fans. And I'm honored. I'm honored that people want to interact and like what I'm doing.
Very awesome. Very awesome. So you have been just so generous with your time. We appreciate you in so many ways. And, you know, in a lot of ways that we're talking about, your, you know, how talented you are as an artist, but also just your story as far as pursuing your dreams. You know, I admire every bit of that, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. No, it's been my honor to be here and get to know you guys a little bit more and talk about
peanut butter.
What it is that I do. Yeah. I love peanut butter. That's what I got out of this. Oh man, yeah. I'm glad we bonded over this.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And you're welcome.
Thank you.
It's all about crunchy.
I do love peanut butter. Thank you guys so much.
So as we say at the end of these things, everybody be excellent to each other. We have a lot of people out there, they're just jerks, and it's just important to keep that message.
That's a good Bill and Ted move. Good job.
Exactly. Yeah, party on, dude. Just be excellent. That's what we ask, you know, just the golden rule. You know, treat people how you want to be treated, you know, and just be cool. Mm-hmm. That's really the message.
Yeah. I agree. No, I agree. I think we often concentrate on the ugly of the planet, and there is ugly on the planet, but there's also amazing, wonderful beauty on the planet, and karma can be mean, but karma can also be a beautiful, beautiful thing. If so, for good people, then that comes back around as well. So, and we often find beauty too. So be excellent. I agree with that.
Bill and Ted moment. Thank you for catching that.
Yes.
I love Bill.
I just actually watched it last week.
That's funny. I'm looking for somebody named Bill, actually, to adopt. Uh-huh. We foster greyhounds, or we have, we have greyhounds. We're part of a greyhound rescue group, and the foster that I have right now, his name is Ted, and I'm like, I need to find Bill. I need to find Bill.
And an old phone booth, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I need to find Bill so he can have Ted.
And maybe a Rufus?
Yes. Yeah. You need a Rufus.
Yeah.
You need a Rufus, yeah.
Now, if I was to ever find somebody named Bill and they already had another dog named Rufus, there's no way they could refuse Ted.
Yeah.
No, I know. like,
this is meant to be. I mean, it's in the time, it's in the annals, the whole time sequence, so you have to do it.
throw some I'm cats sorry. In there with Socrates and Billy.
Socrates, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, we're back on tangents. Don't mind
and
me.
And then you could have Evil Ted. You were in the second one, Evil Ted and Evil
Bill. Oh, yeah, Robot Bill and Ted, yes.
Robot Evil.
Don't forget the princesses.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh,
throw them
good.
In the Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm. Iron Maiden, excellent.
There are strange things happening at the Circle K.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to go watch it again now that we just talked about this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we might have to watch it too.
I will. I will do it. That will be my homework. You walk away with homework, and this will be my homework.
I have to go research The Box.
The Box.
That's right, The Box. That's
and
right.
There was another band you mentioned besides The Glass Tiger. I can't remember who it was.
Mm. The Box. Glass Tiger and
I
The
know.
Box.
It was another one, though, but that's all right.
I remember you two. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's so many.
Maybe this obscure band that I think you kind of briefly mentioned, Journey.
That's it.
That's the one. That's
yeah. Never
the one.
Heard of
yeah,
them
nobody
before.
Knows about them.
I think I may have heard
those
one or two
songs
from those
underground.
Guys.
Underground.
Yeah. It's below the subway.
I believe it's in the basement of the Alamo.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's been, you know what, they've been just hugely influential for me. And the three songs, again, that I have in my pin tweet that you've been listening to today are going back into the studio, and we are having live instruments added to them.
Cool.
And you will hear more of that 80s influence or of that metal-y, even the Neil Sean sound with the guitar.
Ooh, Neil Sean.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Kristen, do you mind if I use an 80s dream mix and mix it into the podcast?
Yeah, go ahead and use it. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, just get some awareness out there for anybody that's listening to the episode. That way they can actually hear it, you know, if they don't go to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was great. That'd be great. I love
awesome.
It. Thank you.
Scott, you got anything?
No, just, you know, thanks for listening to me ramble on about stuff that, you know, just tangents and all that, and peanut butter.
This has been a fine, fun interview. I love it.
Good.
We're glad.
Glad you enjoyed it. You're never gonna look at a jar of peanut butter the same way, though.
I'm not. I'm gonna think about you every single time I go shopping now. Like, what kind of peanut butter would they get?
For me, it'd be like every time I'm looking at like a song, I'm gonna be thinking, is that crunchy or creamy? thank you, Scott, for that.
You're welcome.
I'm still replacing you, but okay.
Okay. Just because I like Pat Benatar or Joan Jett.
Well, there was that whole discussion with Eddie Vedder, but we won't go there.
Oh, the Eddie Vedder thing. We're going to go back to that again?
Yeah, we'll go back to that.
All right. Well, it's getting late here on the East Coast. I got to get going.
Okay.
All right. You guys have a wonderful evening. Thanks again, Kristen, for joining
us. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Dave.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye. This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
Banzai!